What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Let's go to our first guest today here on WEEI Afternoons at the Jimmy Fund Telethon. Derek Aubey, 52, out of Natick, is a patient and has rectal and esophageal cancer. And Dr. Nadine Jackson from the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. I also learned a new acronym because MPH, I was like, usually that means fast, miles per hour, like 100 mile an hour, or Aroldis Chapman fastball, but masters in public health. Appreciate you guys joining us. Dr. Jackson, how are you?
Very well. Thank you for having us.
Derek, tell us, well, first of all, I know you're a Red Sox fan because I can literally see it on your chest, but tell us a little bit about your story.
So back in October 2023, I was diagnosed with the rectal and esophageal, and that's when I met Dr. Jackson. And right from the beginning, she had a plan. I was scared out of my mind because I had two cancers, but right from the beginning, she had a plan. And I went through the chemo, radiation, and now we're just maintaining everything. The side effects from the treatment have been the most difficult part other than the treatment. But other than that, I'm doing much better than I was.
But Derek, your story is unique in that you're also one of the first Jimmy Fund patients, and a success story way back from when you were 2 years old, I believe, actually. You're a childhood leukemia survivor.
Correct.
And one of the first people to experience the brilliance of Dana-Farber and how it can
Correct.
Be put to good use. So literally half a century before this next iteration of misfortune that you're doing a wonderful job with, according to and alongside Dr. Jackson and company.
Correct.
You were one of the first people to make it through Dana-Farber.
Which, as Dr. Jackson said to me, is a catch-22, because that probably was a cause of my latest bout with cancer. But I got through it, so just go one day at a time now.
Dr. Jackson, tell us a little bit about what he was just telling us. So the treatments from his first visit to Dana-Farber actually may have led to this second diagnosis?
That's correct. So Derek is a survivor, and as a survivor of childhood cancer, it puts him at increased risk of developing another cancer later in life. So in a way, a part of him living as long as he has and thriving as well as he has put him at risk for developing these two cancers kind of in midline, along with the radiation therapy that he received.
So he is obviously a unique case, because what we're talking about is advancements and studies, and you know, he's sort of been a part of the process all the way along. How is that benefiting him now in his latest treatments?
Well, obviously, Derek, living as long as he has allowed him to take advantage of the opportunities and the advances that we have in cancer care. So we were able to manage two complex cancers at the same time with a group of other individuals, other care providers, surgeons, radiation oncologists, and a large team of oncologists coming together and thinking about his care. And we also had the benefit of Dr. Salen, who was his original oncologist, still being at the Farber and able to weigh in and help us to think through his care comprehensively. I would be remiss if I didn't include Derek's fantastic support system, his father, and other friends who accompanied him to each of his visits, really kept his spirits up and let us know how well we can provide for him, and let us know all about who he is beneath the cancer diagnosis.
Could you tell us a little bit about how, back when Derek was first treated up until now, as you're treating him for the two different cancers, how treatment, how medicine, and how some of the some of these remedies and treatments and procedures that you guys have pioneered and developed and implemented have evolved?
Well, we've had other advances in cancer, such as immunotherapy, types of targeted therapies that we didn't have before, precision genomics and diagnostics that give us the advantage of tailoring our therapies to the cancer that he has specifically, not just the location where it started. That's incredibly important, because for Derek, his quality of life is really important, preserving his function, preserving his quality of life, and helping us to think carefully through the ways that we can make sure that he continues to thrive and is able to get back to a baseline that is satisfactory for him.
Derek, I mentioned that you obviously wear your Red Sox fandom on your on your chest, but not your only connection. I was looking at your notes here, and you were actually a classmate with Theo Epstein and Sam Kennedy at Brookline High School.
Correct.
So maybe you can tell us what Theo does with the team.
I have no idea.
Just like the rest of us.
Gets paid a lot of money.
That's okay. He's earned it.
Yeah.
But you kept the books for the baseball team at Brookline, so you've been a lifelong baseball guy.
You're a diehard.
I actually threw out the first pitch last summer.
Did you really?
At one of the games.
Bet you it was better than our morning show host Greg Hill's first pitch.
I don't know about that, but
so I imagine you're enjoying this Red Sox season with them back in the playoff
now
hunt.
Now that they're in the hunt.
Yeah. Who's your favorite player?
I'd say Bregman.
Yeah, that's a good favorite player.
We call him St. Bregman on this show because he seems to do everything perfectly, whether it's on the field, leadership, the job. He's St. Bregman to us. Dr. Jackson, how important is what we're doing today to what you do in terms of raising funds, especially in a climate where I think funds are becoming more difficult to get in some areas?
Well, it's important to the research work that we do and the advances that Derek and others like him have been able to take advantage of, but it's also important to our patient care. Many people don't know that the Farber is very generous. Our donors are very generous, and that's what enables us to provide very comprehensive care for our patients. So we have a disability competency care work group that focuses on increasing access and inclusive design of our physical plant, but also the services and resources that we can provide to our patients, and that really comes through the generosity of all of the donors who are helping us out here today.
And obviously when you're treating somebody like Derek, whose host of needs present to you a unique challenge to you, or just anybody else, whether you're working with Dana-Farber, Brigham and Women's, how important not only is the medical treatment, but the sort of whole presentation and treatment that Dana-Farber presents, how important is all of that in accordance or sidecar, if you will, with the medical treatment?
Well, for anyone diagnosed with cancer, their first question is, well, how will I get through this? But also, what shape will I be in once I get through this? And what's my life going to look like? So preserving your day-to-day life is the most important thing that we can do. So understanding where someone is starting from, helping them to maintain that, improve upon that is really important. It's not just the medicines. We can give drugs, but if we can't take care of the whole person, not only that person, but their community, then I think we're really missing out. And so I'm so proud of the work that we do at Dana-Farber because we really do pay attention to the whole individual.
Derek, Dr. Jackson noted your family's role in everything, supporting you, helping you. What does your family mean to you and the way they've helped you through everything?
Well, just my dad being there for me has meant a lot to me. He's been there every day. And then I'd like to thank my friend Ross, who's here today, who brought me to most of my appointments. Just, it helps.
Yep, we all need the support. Is your dad a baseball fan, too? Is he a Red Sox
guy?
Yeah.
You guys watch
Not
games?
Not as diehard, but...
did he ever think he'd see four World Series championships in a lifetime, let alone within the last 25 years?
I don't think so.
No.
Did you?
I didn't think I would. I didn't think I'd even see one.
Do you have a favorite out of the four?
The first one.
The first one, yeah.
Has to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if the Red Sox can win four World Series, we can do it.
No, and just having a connection of Theo being the GM, that makes it even, being a Brookline boy, you know, growing up right down the street, you know, makes you more of a diehard fan.
And his impact on baseball, I mean, I don't have to tell you, between the Red Sox and the Cubs breaking whatever it is, 150 years of curses and World Series, pretty special Hall of Fame career.
And he probably created the electronic strike zone.
Right. Yep. And he took the blame for slowing the game down for a while and trying to speed it back up. Yeah. So, Dr. Jackson, before we let you guys go, any final words that you would say to our listeners that are thinking about texting or calling or going online and donating just in terms of what you guys need at the Farber?
Every dollar matters. Every contribution counts, and we're so grateful. And we hope to honor your contribution with the work that we do and continue to do for Derek, for his family, and for our communities around us. So thank you.
Somebody like Derek may not have even had the opportunity to get into a second wave of treatment or to be here today to encourage other people, Derek, to give, to be generous, and to not be afraid of fighting the fight. There are a lot of people to whom you are a hero. So thank you very much for everything you've done, and we wish you the best of luck as well.
Let's go get another World Series this year. We getting greedy?
Yeah, hopefully.
Go Sox.
All right, that is Derek Aubie and Dr. Nadine Jackson with us here to lead things off on WEEI Afternoons. And
what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
In our WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Telethon. Again, if you want to donate, there's three easy ways. 877-738-1234. You can go online at www.jimmyfund.org, or you can text, maybe the easiest way, KCANCER to 56512. You can donate any amount there.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now, connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.